In the city of Krakow, there once lived a very wealthy man named Yisroel Goy. He had lived a full life and had been blessed with much. Everything a man could want, except children. Bitter, resentful. Yisroel Goy was known as the town's miser. Those in charge of collecting for the city's many organizations complained for years that he never gave a single zlotyk to support them. And what's more, that not once had he ever let a poor person as much as step into his quite spacious house. Eventually, the man fell sick, and while on his deathbed, he called for the heads of the burial society.
As you can see, my end is near, and it is my wish to order my estate, as well as the details of my burial, while I'm still alive. Tell me what your fee will be, and I will pay it.
The trustees excused themselves and conferred on the issue. They returned with their offer.
You know better than anyone your true wealth. Yet, you never took part in the troubles of the poor people of this city in any way. So therefore, to make up for it, give us 500 gold coins, and we will give you a proper burial.
You ask too much. When I called you here, I intended on giving you only 100 gold coins. If you insist on more, I'll give 200, but not a drop more.
When the heads of the burial society heard this, they were dumbfounded. Reb Fishel looked at Reb Nosson, and Reb Pinchas looked at Reb Gedalia, and without a word, they all just got up and left the house. As they walked away, they couldn't but express their shock, their utter dismay at this stubborn miser, Yisroel Goy, who even at the moment when the angel of death was hanging above his head, refused to part with but a fraction of his precious wealth. After a few days, Yisroel Goy died. Immediately, the heads of the burial society met to decide what to do. During their deliberations, there wasn't even one of them who spoke in favor of burying this miser in a fitting way. All they discussed was how he was extremely wealthy all his life and never let anyone, rich or poor, even relatives, benefit in any way from his vast wealth. Be that as it may, they were all unanimous. They would bury him in the outskirts of the cemetery, in the section reserved for the degenerates and lowlifes. Before making their final decision, they brought the matter before the Rav of the city. After he agreed, none of the honored trustees of the burial society wanted to have anything to do with preparing the body for burial, so they gave the job to Lev, the gravedigger, to do as he very well saw fit. The miser died on a Sunday, and on that Thursday morning, a certain poor man knocked on the Rav's door. Embarrassed, the man whispered to him that he didn't have enough money to buy food for the Sabbath. Would the Rav be so kind as to give him the money? The Rav looked at the man and saw that he really was poor, and so ordered that he be given whatever he needed for the Sabbath. As soon as that poor person left the house, another one entered and explained that he hadn't earned enough money that week, and therefore needed help for the Sabbath. While the Rav was still speaking to him, another poor person entered with a similar story. This went on all day. One would leave, and immediately another would enter, each asking the Rav for mercy on him and his household, and enough money for the three Sabbath meals. The Rav was in a state of shock. This sort of thing had never happened since he came to be the Rav of Krakow. He turned to the heads of the community for an explanation, but they too had none. When Friday came, it turned out that many of the residents of Krakow were without food for the Sabbath. The heads of the community said to each other in disbelief, "How could this have happened so suddenly? Who was it who took care of all these people until now?" They had no answer, so they went to the people themselves to find out what had occurred. After much cross-examination, they found out, to their amazement, that all the poor people of the city of Krakow were supported from the money of the famous miser, the now deceased Yisroel Goy. Store owners, butchers and vegetable sellers would distribute all the necessary produce free to the needy of the city on the account of some anonymous charitable person whose identity they never knew. Only now that the source of the tzedakah money had disappeared, the people of Krakow came to realize the true nature of their renowned miser of misers, Yisroel Goy. When the news of all this reached the Rav, he was overcome with remorse. He became confused and couldn't rest. He regretted the way his townsfolk degraded this tzaddik. and with his approval, no less. He realized that this tzaddik acted righteously all his days, and was able to hide it from even those close to him, that they could consider him the very opposite of what he really was. The heads of the burial society were also full of remorse. How could they have degraded this tzaddik so by burying him where they did? The heads of the community got together with the Rav and they decreed a public fast. At the end of a month, the whole congregation went to the grave of the miser to beg his holy forgiveness. They also instructed the community scholars to study portions of the oral law around the clock, night and day, as a remembrance to the soul of the blessed Yisroel Goy. That night, the Rav gathered the whole community in the shul and spoke first about the great merit of giving tzedakah, and then about the terrible transgression of the community for desecrating the honor of such a great man, of whom our sages say, the merit of he who gives charity anonymously is greater than that of Moshe, our teacher. The Rav continued, if we were truly worthy, Hashem wouldn't have tested us with such a righteous man. The sin is ours, and the noose is around our necks. The Rav concluded in tears, joined by the rest of the congregation. After the Rav's speech, they prayed the evening prayer with great devotion. All were very upset how they had desecrated this tzaddik. The Rav was also very upset, for he felt that his sin was greater than the rest, because everything was done in his consent. That night the Rav was distraught, and only well after midnight did he finally fall asleep. And he dreamed. In his dream, the miser, Yisroel Goy, stood before him, his face beaming like that of an angel. The Rav was shocked, didn't know what to do, to speak, or to remain silent. But before he could say anything, the miser came closer. He smiled. He spoke ever so softly.
Do not fear and do not worry, dear Rav. Do not think twice about the way you or the good Jews of Krakow treated me on the day of my death. I am to blame, not you. You should know that a few days before my death, I had planned to put my burial in order so as not to be a bother to anyone. So I invited the heads of the burial society to meet with me. But while I lay on my bed, waiting for them to arrive, I heard an announcement in the heavenly court. An evil decree was decreed on the city of Krakow. So I ascended to the heavenly court and began to defend this holy congregation, which is full of synagogues and yeshivas, a city where the sound of learning and prayer can be heard day and night. For Krakow is a city full of God-fearing people, men and women of action, scholars and scribes, a city where even the empty-headed are full of mitzvahs like the pomegranate is full of seeds. But the accusing angel's claims were too numerous, and the verdict remained guilty. Seeing all this, I decided that I would be the atonement for their sins. I would accept upon myself all kinds of degradations, as long as the residents of Krakow would not be harmed. The heavenly court discussed my suggestion and decided to accept me as an atonement. When the Chevra Kedisha arrived, asking for 500 gold coins as burial fee, I refused to pay. They left my house angry and scowling, but I rejoiced. I knew that my refusal was for the benefit of the entire community. I was afraid, however, that after I died, the adversary might take the form of a respectable person and suggest that I deserve a decent burial after all, being a Jew like all the rest. He would thus sabotage my sacrifice and force the heavenly decree to be carried out upon the